in Yerushalayim. If you notice that I'm a little bit jumpy this morning, I want to share with you that I have a very special guest that I brought with me who arrived in the middle of the night. We're a bit sleep deprived, but I want to introduce my one and only gorgeous daughter who came in. There's Becky right in the back, who came in to spend a little bit of time with her aging mother. So we are going to have a little bit of fun. She also has a chatunah. Baruch Hashem, may there be many smachot bechlal Yisrael. Thank you, Becky, for not getting sleep and coming. What I would like to do with you this morning, if you look at the wonderful pamphlet that you have, you'll notice that there are quite a few sources that I put in. And you'll notice that I put them in the original and that I didn't translate. And the reason that I did that is because I don't want you to look at the translation. You may listen to the translation, but I want you to, with me, go through the language of the Torah and the language of Chazal, because I'm asking you, please, to open your minds, open your hearts, and listen to the language, whether it's familiar to you or not, does not matter. Listen to the language, and even before I lead you to a conclusion, allow it to fall inside, fall into your hearts, because there are some beautiful things that Chazal teach us. My topic is the heritage of Rachel Imenu, but I am going to do the heritage, I'm going to approach the heritage from the point of view of Petirat Rachel Imenu. Why? Because the yahrzeit of Rachel Imenu is the 11th day of Cheshvan. I put down the source in source number 2. I know it should have been source number 1. It's okay. Source number 2. It's in the Yalkut Shimoni, the book of Midrash Yalkut Shimoni. The Yalkut Shimoni counts out the dates of the birth of each one of the Shvatim and their death, showing us how many years each one of the Shvatim lived. And it mentions that Binyamin was born on the 11th of Cheshvan. And we know, Omar Cheshvan, and we know, it's not working? A little bit lower. How's that? Better? Better, thank you. And we know that Rachel Imenu died at the same time in childbirth with Binyamin. So I want to explore what the Torah tells us about her patira. How does the Torah describe her death? And what develops from the description that the Torah gives her of her death? The Torah first tells us about her death, and then Yaakov Avinu is going to tell his son Yosef about the death of Yosef's mother, of his wife. And between those two descriptions, I want to develop an idea of one part of the heritage of Rachel Imenu. Rachel Imenu was a favorite figure among Am Yisrael, there's no question, especially of women. The place of her kever is known to us by tradition. There are a few, there's a little bit of a disagreement, but nevertheless we have agreed to accept that little place that now is a much bigger place and looks like a fortress that's out on the road, right? On the road, going towards Beit Lechem. That is the place. And Jews have always come to Kever Rachel to daven, to pour out their hearts all through the year, but especially on her yahrzeit. It's a place that elicits deep emotions, where one feels very close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think it's because Rachel's story is a very poignant one. It touches the heart. She did not get to be Yaakov Avinu's first wife, though she is the one that he wanted to marry originally. She did not have children for several years. She died when she was very young, 27 years old, Chazal tell us, and she did not get to see her wonderful children grow up. And of course, she was not buried in Maarat HaMachpelah together with her husband and the other avot and imahot. It makes us sad when we think about that. How does the Torah describe her death? Is there any emotion? Let's look at source number one, Bavakasha, Bereshit, Perek, Lamed, Hey, you should have it in the booklet, Vayisu'u mi Beit El, and they traveled from Beit El, Vayihi od Kivrat Aretz Lavo Efrata, and it was just a measure of land, certain measure of land, before coming to Efrat, Vateled Rachel, and Rachel gave birth, Vatekash Belidita, and she had a difficult time in her birth. Vayihi behakshota belidita, and it was as she was having trouble with this birth. Vatomer la hamiyaledet, and the miyaledet, the midwife, said to her, Al tiri, do not be afraid, ki gam zelach ben, because this is also for you a son. She was trying to make her feel good, to give her some courage. Vayihi betzeit nafsha, but it didn't help as her soul left her. Ki meta, because she was dying. Vatikrashmo ben oni, she called his name Ben Oni, the son of my sorrow, of my travail. Va'aviv karalo Binyamin, and his father called him Binyamin. Va'tamat Rachel, va'tikaver b'derech Efrata, and Rachel died, and she was buried right there, on the road to Efrat. He Beit Lechem, that is Beit Lechem. Vayatzev Yaakov Matseva al Kivrata, and Yaakov put up, he erected a monument on her kever, on her grave. Hu Matsevet Kivrat Rachel ad hayom, and that is the monument of Kivrat Rachel until the present day. That is the place of Kivrat Rachel, of kever, the burying place, burial place, licha, of Rachel. Please note that there are two things happening here. There is a birth and there is a death. The one who is born is given a name, actually two names. And the place where it's happening is given a name. The names are very important here, as well as the juxtaposition of birth and death. Let's start with the place name first. Why is this place important? One might ask, and we do, why did Yaakov Avinu bury her on the road? Could he have not gone a few steps further into the city? Why did he not do that? And the question is brought up in the next text, which we already mentioned. At the scene is Yaakov Avinu is on his deathbed, or close, and Yosef, they're in Mitzrayim already, and Yosef hears that his father is ill. And he goes to visit him with his two sons. Yaakov asked Yosef that he not be buried in Mitzrayim, but rather taken back to Eretz Yisrael and be buried in Maarat HaMachpelah, the burial place of the Avot and Imahot. And the following conversation ensues. This is the second description of the death of Rachel, and it's in Bereshit Perek Memchet, va'anochi, va'ani, slicha, can't see it clearly. Va'ani b'voi mi padan, Yaakov Avinu is speaking to Yosef, and he's saying, and I, as for me, when I came from Padan up north, from Aram, the area of Syria today, meta alai Rachel, meta alai, Rachel died on me, she died for me, Be'eretz Kna'an, important, in the land of Kna'an, Baderech. It didn't say Derech the last time. Yaakov is adding the word Derech twice. Ba'od Kivrat Eretz Lavo Efrata, when it was just a measure of land to come to Efrata, Va'ek Barasham Baderech, and I buried her there on the road, Bederech Efrat, he or who Beit Lechem? Just look for a minute, okay? I buried her there on the road. She died on the road, and I buried her there at the road in a place called Ephrat. And it tells us, it's really a nice geographical little addition, in case we didn't know, that Ephrat is right there at Beit Lechem. We'll come back to that later. And I want to share with you what Rashi says there. I know it's a lot of learning, but we're learning. Rashi is commenting, Yaakov is saying to Yosef, I know that I'm giving you a job, that I'm giving you a bothersome task when I'm asking you to take me back to Eretz Kanaan and not bury me here in Mitzrayim. Velo chein asiti le'imecha, and I didn't do that for your mother. I buried her right where she died on the road. Shaharei samuch le'Beit Lechem meita, because actually she died very close to Beit Lechem. Kivrat Eretz, in fact, Rashi tells us, is a midah, it's a measure of land, and he is assuming, according to the opinion of Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan, whom Rashi quotes quite a bit, Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan claims that this Kivrat Eretz is like Tchum Shabbat, the amount that we're permitted to walk on a Shabbat outside of a city. Ve'ek Barasham, the next paragraph, I buried her there, right there, even though I was close. V'lo holachtiha afilu le'Beit Lechem. I didn't even take her into the city, into Beit Lechem, lahachnisa la'aretz, to take her into Eretz Yisrael, but it doesn't mean that she didn't die in Eretz Yisrael. I didn't take her into the civilized area of Eretz Yisrael. V'yadati sheyesh belibcha alai tar umot. And I know that you have complaints about me because of that. You don't feel good about it, Yosef, and I know that. Aval dalecha, we're getting to the point, finally. But I want you to know, she'al pi hadibur kavarti Hashem, that I buried her there according to God's word. She'tehela ezra levaneha, so that she should be a help to her children. When the general of Nebuchadnezzar, the chief of the Babylonian army, will exile the children of Rachel, she will be right there on the road. And they would pass by where the kever is. Yatzat Rachel al kivra. Rachel comes out of her grave. Ubocha, and she cries, umevakeshet aleihem rachamim, and she asks for compassion from Hashem upon her children. Shenemar, and Rashi is going to quote a famous perek in Yirmiyahu that we all know because we just read it. It's the Haftarah of the second day of Rosh Hashanah. We're going to get to it in a minute. But he quotes, I'm just going to do the beginning because we're going to do it from the source. Kol barama nishma. A voice is heard in Rama, or a voice is heard on high. Rachel mevaka al baneha, etc. Rachel is crying for her children. Yaakov Avinu is explaining to Yosef the importance of the fact that he buried Rachel on the road. The place of Rachel's burial, he's saying, was not my idea, but rather I did it under instruction from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. In order to understand it fully, we need to look at the Yirmiyahu text, which in my opinion is one of the most beautiful things in all of Tanakh. Yirmiyahu Perek Lamed Aleph, you have it before you. Koa Mar Hashem, so says Hashem, Kol Barama Nishma. A voice is heard on high, Nehi, Bechi, Tamrurim, bitter wailing, Rachel, Mevaka, Albaneha. Rachel is completely immersed in crying for her children. She refuses to be comforted al baneha, on her children. That's a very big expression, because they are not there. They are gone. That enenu is this big, it's big. It opens, they're not there. Koamar Hashem, so says Hashem. Slicha. Min'i kolech mi bechi. Keep back your voice from crying. Ve'inayich mi dima. And your eyes from tears. Ki yesh sachar lepulatech. Because there is a reward for your work. Ne'um Hashem. These are the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vishavu me'eretz oyev. They will return from the land of the enemy. V'yesh tikva la'achriteich, and there is hope for you at the end. Ne'um Hashem, these are the words of Hashem. V'shavu banim ligvulam, and the sons will come back to their borders. Do you notice there's a little bit of a doubling of ideas? I just want to point it out for you for a minute. It tells us, Rachel mevaka al baneha, she's crying for her children. Me'ana lehinachem al baneha. So a statement and a statement. She's crying for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children, right? And then Hashem says to her, Mini kolech mi bechi, one side, ve'enayich mi dima. In other words, a statement and a balance, which is a very often part of the poetry of Nach. In Navi, you'll get a lot of this. You get the idea of a statement and a balance. But we are going to see that according to one of our very well-known Mefarshim, who those of you who come to my classes unfortunately know for years, and they all will tell you, she is always going to quote, my friends, Malbim, thank you. The Malbim says, you know, when the Nevi'im do that doubling, my friends, it is not just poetry. It is poetry, but it's poetry that has meaning behind it. But before we do the Malbim, I just gave you a little anticipation so that you should listen, okay? Before we do the Malbim, we're going to look at the Radak, Reb David Kimchi. Much earlier on in history than the Malbim, Reb David Kimchi lived in like the 12th, 13th century. And his Perush is Medrashic. He quotes the Medrash in Eicha Rabbati. And in Eicha Rabbati, there's an interesting Medrash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sitting on his Kisei HaKavod. And he absolutely has decided that the Beit HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. That's it. No more waiting. No more arichat apayim. Nothing is going to be destroyed. And all of the avot and the imahot, the neshamot of the avot and the imahot, come before the kisei hakavod, and they try to convince HaKadosh Baruch Hu not to destroy the Beit HaMikdash. L'mashal, just for a minute to go into the background, Avraham Avinu says before him, please remember that I am the one that was willing to sacrifice my son when you told me to take him up on Har Moriah. And Yitzchak says, remember, I was willing to be the Akedah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not listen. He says, no, something terrible has happened. We'll see it mentioned in the Medrash. And the Beit HaMikdash needs to be destroyed. And then Rachel comes before the Kisei HaKavot. So let's look at the Medrash that Radak quotes. V'yesh Medrash, he does not give the source, it's Eicha Rabbati. Lama Rachel, why Dafka Rachel is the one that comes before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he listens to her? He destroyed the Beit HaMikdash, but he listens to what her complaint is. Lefisha halchu avot ve'imahot lefayes et HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because all of the patriarchs and matriarchs went to try to appease Hashem, Al Shehemid Menashe Tselem Behechal, because he had decided to destroy the Beit HaMikdash, because Menashe, who was an extremely evil king, had set up an idol right in the middle of the sanctuary of the Beit HaMikdash. V'lo nitpayes, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not allow himself to be appeased. Nichnasa Rachel, and after all the Avot and Imahot spoke, Rachel came in. V'amra lefanav, and she said before him, Ribono shel olam, Master of the universe, Rachamei mi merubim, who has more compassion, Rachamecha, O Rachamei basar v'dam, whose compassion is greater? Or should we say, which compassion is greater? The compassion that you have, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or the compassion of flesh and blood, human beings? Havi Omer Rachamecha Merubim. Let's say that we assume that you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have more compassion. But I want to remind you of something, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Halo ani hichnasti tzorati leveiti. Listen, the word tzara is used for a co-wife. You know, tzaras is a co-wife. It also means a rival. She says, Ribono shel Olam, are you worried that your children put a rival in your house? Did I not bring a rival into my house? Shekol ha'avodah she'avad Yaakov et avi, all the labor that Yaakov did for my father, lo avad ela bishvili. He only did all that work for the sake of marrying me. Ukshabati likanes l'chupa, and when I came to go under the chupa, hichnisu achoti, they brought in my sister. V'lo dai sheshatakti, and it wasn't enough that I was silent. Ela shemasarti la simanai, but I gave her my symbols that Yaakov and I had agreed upon. I had signals and symbols to tell him who I was. I gave it to Leah. Af ata, you also, im hichnisu banai tzaratecha lebeitecha. If my children brought a rival, you could say chas v'shalom, it's terrible, a co-god, into your house, shtok lahem. Can you not be silent for them like I was silent for my sister? Amar la, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Rachel, Yafeli marit sanegoria al banai. How nicely you defended, you taught me the defense of my children. Yesh sachar lepu'ulatech. Those words are very important. There is a reward for those actions. That pain that you're feeling, Rachel, that you allowed it to happen, that your sister was married first to the man that you hoped would be your husband first, there is reward. Litzit kateich, to your righteousness, shemasart simanayich lachoteich, that you gave over those simanim, those signals, those signs to your sister, there will be a reward. I'm giving you a reward. V'od yesh drash, and there's another drash. Ki derech kever Rachel holicham bagola. That when they went into exile, they went on that road. Al kein amar Rachel mevakal baneha. That's why they say Rachel is crying, and that's why, I'm not going to go through the end here, that's why the Navi says Rachel is crying for her children while she's there on the road where Yaakov Avinu buried her so that she should be right there. She has an eternal role. The Radak is reminding us, according to the Midrash, that Rachel's heritage is an eternal role. She gave up a lot and during her life, but Hashem assures her that there is great reward for all that she did. A little bit more explanatory information from my favorite teacher and person, the Malbim. Rachel Mavakal Baneha. Remember I showed you that there's a doubling in the Pasuk. There's a statement and then a statement that's a little bit different. A statement and then a statement that's a little bit different. What could possibly be the doubling of the ideas that are going on here? Something else that we learn about Rachel Imenu that really was subliminally mentioned in the previous, in the Midrash, but it wasn't pointed out clearly. Let's look. Rachel Mavakal Baneha, the Malbim teaches Mitzayer, it is describing Ki Rachel Em HaBanim, Rachel the mother of the sons, and I'm going to add a little word, Rachel, the mother of all the children. Not just the ones that she gave birth to. All of Yaakov's children. So Eket Bakol Al Shnei Baneha Shegalu. She is crying out in a loud voice on both of her sons. Now it sounds like it's only them, but wait. On both of her sons that were exiled. Shehem Bnei Yosef Ubnei Binyamin. We're talking about the children of Yosef and the children of Binyamin. What's the difference? What's the difference when we say Binyamin? Thank you. Yosef is from the northern kingdom, Yisrael, Bnei Yosef. The northern kingdom is called Ephraim, the son of Yosef. And Binyamin is together with Yehuda and the southern kingdom. And what is she saying? Hine bnei binyamin shegaluim Yehuda, the children of Binyamin that were exiled with Yehuda lebavel, to Babylonia, atidim lachzor bimei koresh, will in the future go back to Eretz Yisrael in the times that the Persian king Koresh conquered Bavel and allowed all exiles to go back to their land. And she's crying for those children who went now to Galut. But the sons of Yosef, that were exiled way north and east, to the Chalach and Chavor are used as names meaning far out. Ve'ein atidim lachzor, and they are not going to come back so fast, less than 100 years later, 70 some odd years later. Aleihem me'ana lehinachem. So we have the Rachel Mavaka on the children that went with all of Yehuda because they're going to come back. Me'ana lehinachem, she refuses to be comforted about the children that are not going to come back so quickly. Shehagam shetekabel tanchumim al bnei binyamin b'shuvam b'vayit sheni. She's willing to accept comfort on the children of Binyamin because they will be back and will build another Beit HaMikdash. Lo tinachem al baneha asher einenu. She refuses to be comforted on her child who is not there, shehu al bnei Yosef. She's talking about Yosef. Do you remember when the brothers were standing before Yosef when they were exiled? I can see that Rosalie remembers. And Yosef was asking the brothers, pretending that he didn't know who they were, are you the only children of your father, your spies? Remember the whole story? And they said, oh no, Bnei Isha Chada Nachnu. We are all the sons of one father. However, one is home, V'echad Einenu. That same expression here, Einenu, not there, lost, gone. So Rachel refuses to be comforted. Stop crying, al bnei Binyamin, about the children of Binyamin. and your eyes from tears. What's the doubling? About the children of Yosef. V'neged b'nei binyamin amar ki yesh sachar lepulateich. There's a reward for all your work, meaning b'nei binyamin will be given another chance. With Yehuda, they'll come back and build the second Beit HaMikdash. Ma she'at mitpalelet ba'adam yesh bazeh sachar. The fact that you're davening and crying for them, there is a reward, Rachel, there's a reward. I hear everything that's being done. Ki yashuvu me'eretz oyev, because they'll come back from the land of the enemy. And with regard to the children of Yosef, yesh tikva la'achariteich, there's hope for the end. Because at the end of the days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Rachel, in the time of Mashiach, all of the sons of Yosef will come back as well. There is hope. You have hope, Rachel. There is a reward for what you're doing. We're reminded here, all of the children went into exile, not just hers. She's the mother of all the Shvatim. She was and is to this day the Akeret Habayit, the one that holds the house together. She's buried on the road to watch out for her children when they're exiled, and so that she can await their return and welcome them. When we looked at the description of the death of Rachel in the Torah at the very beginning and noticed that there were two things happening, we noticed also that there were two names given to Binyamin. She called him Ben Oni, because she knew that she was going to die. But Yaakov Avinu said, no, no, no. He's a very important person, and he brings about a very important new era. And his name must reflect his eternal role as well as yours. And what is that? We usually translate Binyamin as the son of my right hand. But Rashi corrects us on that. It's not the right hand, though there is that opinion as well. But rather, Rashi tells us, Nireh be'enai, it seems to me, she lefi shehu levado nolad be'eretz Kna'an. Why did Yaakov name Binyamin the son of my right? Because he's the only one that was born in Eretz Yisrael. How does Yamin mean Eretz Yisrael? I want to remind you, usually when we have a mental picture of any map, we automatically think north on the top, south on the bottom, east on the right, and west on, I think this is my left hand. But anyway, on this side and on this side, right? However, ancient maps were not made like that. The top was always Mizrach. It was always east. So put yourself on an angle. Turn your head a little bit. If east is here, what's to the right? South. North is here. East, south. We got far enough south, Yaakov is saying, so that this child is born in Eretz Yisrael. And so we called him Benjamin, according to Rashi, and according to the Yalkut Shimoni that we'll read in a moment, the Midrash. He was born in Eretz Yisrael, and it is very important. Mipnei mazacha Binyamin shetishresh china b'chelko. Why did Binyamin deserve to have the Beit HaMikdash built in his chelek? Mipnei shekol hashvatim, again. It's not really, I'm not feeling it. Okay, I hope you can hear me. Okay, I see. Again, why did Binyamin deserve to have the Beit HaMikdash built in his portion? That the Shekhinah, the spirit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, rests in his portion. Mipnei shekol hashvatim noldu b'chutz la'aretz. All the other tribes were born outside of Eretz Yisrael. Ubinyamin nolad be'eretz Yisrael. It's no joke that we call a child born in Eretz Yisrael a sabra. Binyamin has something extra because he's born in Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu was saying when he says to Rachel, this child will be called Binyamin, he is opening a new chapter in the history of Am Yisrael. He is the only one who was born in Eretz Yisrael, the home of Am Yisrael. Moreover, he is the only one of my children who did not bow down to my brother Esav because he was not yet born. These two facts create and constitute a new form of strength for Am Yisrael that continues through the time of Mordechai, Ish Yemini, a descendant of Binyamin, and until today. What is this strength? Let's look at Esther. V'chol avdei ha-melech asher b'shar ha-melech, remember all of the servants of the king that were in the gate, korim u'mishtachavim la-Haman. They were all bowing down to Haman, ki kein tziva lo ha-melech, because that's what the king ordered. And there's a famous statement, u'mordechai, lo yichra v'lo yishtachavim. Notice, please, the future. It doesn't say Mordechai lo kara. It's not past and it's not present, it's future. Binyamin will not bow down, bend his knees and bow down. He will not. This is an important characteristic that's born with Binyamin, the ability to look ahead, to see through the troubles of the moment, in order to guarantee the future, Chazal say, a future of emet for Am Yisrael. This, too, is the heritage of Rachel Imenu, because she saw the future of Am Yisrael and the sacrifices that must be endured to guarantee that future. And knowing that future gave her the strength to do what she did. The Maharal notes that there's yet another reason that the place where Rachel dies and is buried is so very carefully described in the Torah. He notes especially one line that I tried to emphasize a little bit, but not completely, when I read the original text back at the beginning of my talk. Vatamat Rachel, vatikaver bederech Ephrata, hi beit lechem. And Rachel died, and she was buried in the land of Ephrat, which is Beit Lechem. Let me please translate it a little bit differently. She was buried on the road to Ephrat, which is a house of bread. Which is a house, I should say first. It's a bayit. And not only is it a house, but it's a house that you can live in. You can subsist in that house because it has sustenance. It has the wherewithal to exist. Rachel completed her mission on the road to Ephrat, and she created there the idea of a bayit, a house of bread in which Am Yisrael would always be able to survive. Rachel made sure that her descendants would be able to establish a home even when they were on the road in Galut. They would make a house of lechem. Let's look at the Maharal. Sefer Netzach Yisrael. Umipnei, and this is all done, ki Rachel hi haita akeret abayit shel Yaakov. She was the main person in the house. She was in control of the house. Kmo she'amru chazal, they said Rachel was the akeret habayit. For kol mi shenikra bayit, and anybody that's called house, kolel u'ma'ached hakol, he has the ability to include and unite everything that goes on. Kmo she'habayit kolel hakol u'ma'ached kol asher b'tocho, just like the house has everything and unites. The house makes the family. The family lives together in the house. V'lefichach amar, and that's why Rachel, that's why Yaakov Avinu said to Yosef, Shenikbara Rachel Baderech, that Rachel had to be buried on the road. She'im hayta nikberet Rachel Bama'ara, because if Rachel would have been buried with the other Avot and Imachot in the cave, Lo haya etzel Yisrael, there wouldn't be for Yisrael Shehem Bagalut Shelahem, when they would be in exile, Koach HaMekabetz V'HaMached et Yisrael Bagalut. They wouldn't have the strength that gathers them and unifies them when they were in the Galut. Aval Nishar B'Yisrael Koach HaMached. Yisrael did, it remained in them, that strength. But that strength, says the Maharal, was potential. It wasn't brought out. It wasn't real. But the very fact, v'lachach Rachel, the fact that Rachel, shehi koach ha-ma'ached et Yisrael, who is the strength of unifying Yisrael, shaharei kol Yisrael nikru al shma, all of Yisrael are called her children, nikbera baderech. That's why she had to be buried out there on the road. Ulechach mevakeshet rachamim. And that's why she's standing there. She's giving them the strength to stay together, the strength to survive, the strength to remain Jews. She is there. She is standing before the Kisei HaKavod and davening for her children. Ad shiyu Yisrael mekubatzim ba'artzam. Until once again Yisrael will be gathered together to their land. There is, of course, much more to be said for Rachel Imenu, but you know that I have to stop talking. The time has come. We are about to commemorate her Yahrzeit, and that's why I wanted to deal with that. I wanted to emphasize all that which can be understood from the way the Torah tells us about her death. She died and was buried on the road, Baderech, to safeguard the travels of her children throughout history. Yet, at the same time, she died giving birth. And though that is very sad, it makes a ray of light, a ray of light through which we can see the future. Because through her being buried on the road, she taught us that the road needs to be transformed into a home, that albeit a temporary place of dwelling, serves to hold the nation together. We can sum up what Rachel did to her, quoting from the Pasuk from Megillat Rut, where the elders give Boaz and Rut a bracha, that they say that may Rut be like Rachel and Leah, asher banu shteihem et Beit Yisrael. Rachel and Leah, who built, the two of them, the house of Yisrael. And note, please, that Rachel is put first, though she was ostensibly the younger, not because it's an accident, but because she was the one that brought it about. I'm sorry if I kept you a little bit late. Thank you very much. And Chodesh Tov to all.